I would encourage you this next 6 weeks to, I was talking to a pastor today, and we were talking about Holy Spirit. And he said, well, why are you, if you are already a Spirit-filled church, why are you teaching on Holy Spirit? And I said, well, to reacquaint us with the way that God communicates with us. There's no communication that comes from God Holy Spirit's not involved with. We'll talk about it a little bit tonight when Robert talks about the Holy Spirit speaking to us by reminding us everything Jesus says. So when Jesus communicates with us, he communicates through Holy Spirit. You know, and I've been in Pentecostal circles now for years, and it always amazed me that some people claimed that Jesus came in bodily form and sat across the table and spoke with them a couple of hours, his will and his desire. And I always question that. I don't want to call anybody a liar, but since the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Jesus didn't appear to people. Now you say, well, he appeared to Paul. Paul was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Come on, someone. And so God is involved in communicating with us through Holy Spirit. And he's involved the Holy Spirit in the whole plan of redemption. How many know? Holy Spirit comes to us when we're saved. Holy Spirit comes to us when we're baptized. Holy Spirit speaks to us all that Jesus is saying. Holy Spirit is an advocate that prays for us to the Father and pleads our case to the Father for us. I mean, no, when we pray in the Spirit, we pray in the Holy Spirit. He's speaking our heart to the Father. So the reason we're going through this next 6 weeks, and I encourage you, it took me about a half an hour to go through the book, to go through this first chapter without the film. And I encourage you to go through the second chapter before we see the video next week. And really ask the Lord to reacquaint you with the preciousness of his plan in bringing Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a co-equal with the Father and the Son. Many people teach that the Trinity is three personalities of the same God. That's not true at all. How many know? It's three persons, three separate individuals that are one. If you can write this word down, hypostatic, I encourage you to look it up. Hypostatic, H-Y-P-O-S-T-A-T-I-C. Hypostatic union of the three-in-one God that we serve. How many know the Holy Spirit was there? Creation, we talked about it last week. Holy Spirit is here tonight. He communicates through what God wants us to hear. And so I encourage you over this next 6 weeks, don't poo-poo this. Some of this is going to say, well, this is very basic. Well, how many know sometimes it's really good just to refresh ourselves in the goodness of God and his wisdom in sending Holy Spirit to be the main communicator of the Godhead to us? So let's watch the film and then we'll discuss some things. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are God, that you move among us, that you speak to us, that you overshadow all that God does in our lives. We're so grateful for the gifts that you bring, the fruits that you exhibit, the wisdom that you impart. Lord, we thank you that you remember, Holy Spirit, you remember everything that Jesus says, and you tell that to our heart, oh God. We thank you for that, for being our guide, for being our Lord, for leading us and guiding us. And now, Father, just this video was made a few years ago, but I pray that you'd anoint Robert's words, speak to our hearts, and revitalize us again in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to do a little group participation. Since you didn't get the books, if you did early and you read them, then you probably answered these questions as I have, if you had them on Sunday. I trust that you did, but I'm going to encourage you to read ahead next week so the video is a rehearsal of what you've read and heard from Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking there's so much that came back to me as I was studying this, and if you were in my head when I'm reading the Bible, you would think I'm weird. Because when I read the Bible, I get mind pictures. I get, you know, at the movies, when you go to the movies and MGM lion roars and the things and the lights and the deals and the script, I get the whole thing in my head when I'm reading about the disciples on the boat. I see the disciples on the boat. I just go through the whole thing. Holy Spirit ministers to me, and I was remembering in 1992, we had started home groups in our church, and I had just finished reading Paul Yonggi Cho. How many know who I'm talking about when I say Paul Yonggi Cho? No? He pastors the largest church in the world, in Korea. What's it called? I forget the name of the church, but anyway, they've got 1 million people in the church, 80,000 pastors on staff. Yeah. In Seoul, South Korea. But anyway, so I read his book, and we had started home groups, and I had a passion for reading. When I read, the Lord would just show me things as I was reading. And so I was sitting I didn't host any home groups. I had other people hosting it, but I was there at the home group, and I was praying. And I said, Lord, I want to be able to, because I had read something about Paul Yonggi Cho getting visions. And I said, God, I want you to give me a vision. And as I was praying, the host of the home group, Claude, had hurt his back at work and was sitting in the chair groaning, literally groaning as we were praying. He was in a lot of pain. And so I opened my eyes, and I saw right through his body. And I went, and I closed my eyes again, and I opened them up again, and I could see just like you look at an x-ray. It was just like the cartoons where the person stands behind the thing and it's all skeleton. And I could see his skeleton. I could see his blood vessels. I could see there was a pinched nerve in his back. And I went over and laid hands on that where I could see, and he was healed. How many know that's Holy Spirit? That's Holy Spirit. And many times when I'm up here praying or I pray for you, I get x-ray visions because that's how God deals with me. If you go to pain, I see it in x-ray vision because that's how Holy Spirit, that's how I'm able to have the faith to pray for you to be healed. How many know that's precious? How many know that's precious? And that's the power of the Spirit. So this first question, the Greek word for Holy Spirit is translated as helper, consoler, intercessor, and advocate. How do these terms aid your perspective on the nature of the Holy Spirit? Who wants to be the first one to answer that one? Yes, he's a worker. What else? He's a worker. What else? What perspective you have on the Holy Spirit as a counselor, comforter? He's a person. Say that louder. He's a nurse. All things that you need. What I wrote down is he represents God to man and man to God. He's my advocate when I go before the Father and ask forgiveness. He's right there saying, you need to forgive Rick. You need to let me fill him again with me. And how many know he's there taken on my behalf? And also, he's speaking for the Father to me. Yes, I've forgiven you. Yes, I've cleansed you. Don't do that again. Right? Amen. Second question on here is, read John 14, 25 and 26. Somebody got that? John 14, 25 and 26. So the question is, what kind of things do you think the Holy Spirit teaches you? What's the Holy Spirit teach you? Right from wrong? What else? Convictor. Faith. Gives us faith, compassion, provision. What else? Can't do it on our own. Helps us remember. Yes. Amen. Wow. Yeah, how did you like that when he said there's something in there that says, don't say that, and you say, I shouldn't say this, but how many have done that? Come on, be honest. Everybody better have their hand up. You've been in a situation where you say, I shouldn't say this, but... And when you say, as soon as it comes out of your mouth, you know by the people in the room, you probably shouldn't have said that. I have a Holy Spirit and then my wife. And so a lot of time when I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit checks me. If I don't hear him, I'll see my wife's face. So oftentimes I don't look at Terry too much because I know she's gonna say, you probably shouldn't go there. Yeah. So... Let's look at this third question. Read John 16, 12, and 13. If somebody got that, John 16, 12, and 13. So what do these verses say to you about how the Holy Spirit communicates with us? How many of you ever heard the phrase need to know? You're on a need to know basis. That irritates me. Don't tell me on a need to know basis. I'm trying to get the lowdown on this subject. Don't treat me like you're somebody special. Come on, if I need to know. How many know Holy Spirit tells us all things that Jesus says? Anybody that tells you there's a certain graduation that you have to hear Holy Spirit, if you want to see my blood boil, it's then. Holy Spirit doesn't hold back anything from somebody that's a child of God. Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what Jesus' desire is. It's not a you're on a need-to-know basis. There was a time Jesus said, I can't tell you because you're not ready yet. You're not filled with Holy Spirit. You wouldn't be able to understand. But when he comes, he'll speak all things that he hears. By the way, in that same passage, he says, I will go away and you'll see me no more. So just to go back to what I was saying before the film, people that say they spend hours with Jesus, I'm going, I don't get that. Come on, the Holy Spirit communicates everything that Jesus does. Someday we'll see him. Amen. Yeah, I agree with that. What I'm speaking of is Jesus actually bodily comes and sits across the table and speaks as a person. Yeah, I don't get that. Has anybody in here ever had Jesus sit at the table and talk to you? I don't get that. So I'm willing to be corrected, but anyhow, that's just a Holy Spirit speaks to us of all things that Jesus said. Now question 4 says, John talks about Holy Spirit convicting or convincing us of sin. Have you ever felt an inner conviction of sin stirred by Holy Spirit? How many would like to share an incident? Help build our faith. Roy? Wow. What happened when you woke up? Wow. Someone else. Convicted by the Holy Spirit. Yes. But I'm bummed. Wow. What an excellent story. Man. That's the Holy Spirit right there. How many know that? Wow. Wow. Yes, Dan. Yeah. That's right. That's right. The next question, the last question is pretty obvious. How does Acts 5, 3, and 4 prove the Holy Spirit is God? Peter talks to Ananias and said, you lied to God, not to us. And then he said, you lied to the Holy Spirit later on. Proves that Holy Spirit and God are one. But the preciousness of Holy Spirit, it's been so refreshing for me, and I hope it is for you, just to go back and thank God for that intimacy that he brought. Because God, by his Spirit, lives in me. How many know I don't have to go somewhere to find God? He's right here. We get this idea sometimes when we forget the Holy Spirit is in us. He's not out there somewhere. We don't have to seek Jesus at the throne. Although we're seated in heavenly places, Holy Spirit lives in us. The divine exchange, yes. Yeah, I told the story. It's very, very private. I won't share everything, but I went through a tough time with a group of people at church I pastored, and some people left, and I was very hurt, wanted to be healed, and God said, well, here's how you're going to be healed. You're going to go to those people and ask them to forgive you. And I said, well, I'm not going to do that because I didn't say anything to them to hurt them. I love them, and I'm not going to do it. The Holy Spirit said, you're going to do it. You unhealed, you're going to do it. Come on, someone. So I had to go to each house. I didn't go to everybody because some people were too far away, some other things, and I wrote letters to them. But the people that caused the trouble and wreaked havoc within the church, I had to go sit in their house and say, "Can you forgive me?" And God said specifically, you can't be sarcastic, you can't be mean, and you can't wait for them to say, "Will you forgive me?" Come on, someone. How hard do you think that would be? I don't know about you, but it was hard. I'd literally go into the house and come in back into the car and cry my eyes out, go to the next house after I was dry-eyed and do the same thing. But guess what happened when I was finished with the whole group? I was healed. All that sadness and that despondency and that distress, I couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, or it was gone. Holy Spirit knew. Come on, went, and that's a word for somebody here. Forgiving somebody is not for them, it's for you. It's for you. Because if you harbor unforgiveness, which as I began to ask, "Can you forgive me?" I was harboring unforgiveness. And the Holy Spirit knew that that's the only way I was going to be able to do that. Yes, Holy Spirit convicts. He convinces us that we're in sin. Why? Not so he can beat us up, because he loves us. So this is going to be a fantastic study. I hope that you can be refreshed with that. You can even cheaty-peaty. I think a lot of this might be on YouTube. You can look at it and then look at it again when you come in, but have fun with it. Next week we're going to talk about, is he a person? The Holy Spirit has a distinct personality as the third person of the Trinity. He has a soul. He has the mind of God. He knows the will of God. And he has God's emotions. If you want to go a step further, to those of you who are brave, write this down. The spiritual man by Watchman Nee. Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee. It's a book in three volumes. If you get it in one volume, it's literally that thick. It's a book that you'll study, and it's a book on the Holy Spirit. N-E-E. Watchman Nee. Watchman. W-A-T-C-H-M-A-N. You can get it on Amazon for about $12. I've ordered tons of them. I give them away, so I have to, every time I give them away, I have to buy another one. But it's a good book, and it's basically talking about what we're going to talk about in 6 weeks in depth. The Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee. Our heart's clear? Yes. Of course. They were the ones that left and got angry, and I was still there. They left, so it's obviously that they had aught against me. Yeah. If there's anything I've done, could you forgive me? And I couldn't even say that. The Lord wouldn't say if there's a, because that's a cop-out, if there's anything I've done. Obviously, there's something I've done, or you wouldn't be angry with me. So could you forgive me? Yeah. It's not for the faint in heart. Toughest thing I ever had to do, except change a diaper. That's tougher. What'd God say to you? Anything that we kind of glossed over you want to talk about? How many think you're going to like this series? Pretty good series. He's a good communicator too, isn't he? He actually tells stories that are really funny. I'm trying. Pastor Olin Griffin, the one that he said, don't call it a trailer, call it a mobile home. That was our pastor when we were in Dallas. That's the church they took over. It was Shady Grove that became Gateway Church, where Robert Morris is now. So just a little trivia. Yeah. First 6 weeks, 5 weeks we were there, we didn't even know who the pastor was. Holy Spirit moved powerfully. Yeah, powerful church. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for reminding us and digging deep in our hearts, God. Holy Spirit, we thank you for hovering over us tonight, speaking to our hearts, calling us. Father, as we refresh ourselves, Lord, I ask that you move by your power in the service on Sunday, God. Lord, we pray for a resurgence of the prophetic words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Lord, we make room for you in the fruits and the gifts. Holy Spirit, help us to honor you in a way that would bring you great joy, that you would pour yourself upon us in a fresh, new way. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.